Did you know that Malaysia and Indonesia may never have become Muslim if it wasn't for China? You see, while Malaysia and Indonesia are two separate countries today, in reality, they inhabit a continent of thousands of islands, each with their own language and people and culture. And in the 700s, the dominant power in the region was Sriwijaya, a Buddhist kingdom which built its empire on a foundation of trade by sea. Soon after, the traders of Sriwijaya began noticing an ever-increasing presence of foreigners arriving by ship from the west. Muslim sailors from Somalia and India and Persia and Oman and Yemen were sailing the oceans in search of new peoples to trade with and connecting all the lands in between. Within another 100 years, the Muslims would become the dominant traders in the region, and the Empire of Sriwijaya saw them as a way to link their own internal spice trade with the rest of the world. Soon, Muslim merchants began settling along the northern and western coasts of Sumatra, the main island under Sriwijayan control, and not long after, the first Muslim sultanates in the region would begin to appear. In the north of Sumatra were a cluster of small kingdoms that Sriwijaya was never able to fully dominate. And one of those kingdoms was based in the city of Perlak, on the northeastern coast in modern-day Aceh. At some point in the mid-800s, the rulers of Perlak accepted Islam, marking the beginning of the very first sultanate in the region. But it would take another 400 years before the rulers of another kingdom embraced Islam. In the late 900s, Sriwijaya began making gains along the north coast of Sumatra, invading the small kingdoms there and bringing them under its control. Soon, Perlak too found itself at war, struggling to remain independent from the empire. However, the Sriwijayan occupation of the Perlak Sultanate didn't last long, as in 1025, a new empire began its own campaign. The Chola Empire of southern India launched an invasion of Sriwijaya, attacking its capital city and imprisoning its king. Now leaderless, Sriwijaya descended into chaos and confusion, allowing for the local kingdoms to slowly regain their autonomy in the region once more. For the next 300 years, northern Sumatra remained divided between the local kingdoms, and throughout this time, Muslim traders and Muslim locals continued to spread Islam amongst the people. Soon, Muslim traders began traveling beyond Sumatra, arriving in the Maluku Islands and eastern Java and the Malay Peninsula as well. And it was then that a second Muslim kingdom took shape in 1136, when the king of Kadeh accepted Islam, taking the name Muzaffar Shah and founding the Kadeh Sultanate. Muslims continued giving da'wah throughout the region, but the process remained slow and efforts were limited to a grassroots level. But soon all that changed when a small yet extremely important event occurred, beginning a tidal wave of new sultanates to come. In 1267, the 17th Sultan of Perlak offered his daughter's hand in marriage to the king of the neighboring kingdom of Pasai. Seeing the marriage proposal as an offer of friendship and accepting the Perlak Sultan's religion of Islam, the king of Pasai became Muslim, married the Sultan's daughter, and changed his name from Marasilu to Malikus Saleh. The third sultanate had just been founded, and soon others would arrive. Together, the two kingdoms began focusing their efforts on spreading Islam to other parts of Southeast Asia. Islamic scholars and da'is were hosted and sent to the nearby kingdoms across the Strait of Malacca to spread Islam in the neighboring peninsula. Muslim traders had been coming to the Malay archipelago for centuries now, but there were now sultans directly involved in the da'wah. Finally, it seemed like progress was being made. Sultans would meet with each other and form alliances with each other and spread news of Islam amongst each other. And if the rulers of neighboring kingdoms converted, their people too would surely follow. But soon, that sense of hope quickly diminished when the rumblings of a new great empire began to emerge. In 1288, the Hindu kingdom of Singhasari in eastern Java sent an army to southern Sumatra. There, they managed to defeat the Melayu kingdom and take control over the domain. The sudden rise of the Singhasari even gained the attention of the Mongols in China, and the grandson of Genghis Khan sent envoys to the rulers demanding that they submit. The king of Singhasari refused to pay tribute, and in 1293, the Mongols began their invasion, sending an army to Java. The war was short-lived, and in a surprising turn of events, Singhasari was actually able to defend itself. The mighty Mongol Empire that had conquered the entirety of China could not even take control of the island of Java. Within a year, the Mongols had been defeated in battle and were forced to retreat. Now it became clear that Singhasari was in charge, and they soon extended their kingdom to Sumatra and the Malay Peninsula, uniting the lands under the most powerful empire the region had ever seen. Soon, even the Muslim sultanates in Kedah, Perlak, and Samudra Pasai were under the empire's control, and it seemed like Hinduism would remain the dominant religion in the region. But the Muslims never gave up, and the conversion of just one man to Islam would ultimately lead to the downfall of the newly formed Majapahit Empire. You see, in 1398, the Majapahit Empire besieged Singapura, a Buddhist kingdom that had gained power through strong ties to the Mongols ruling China. But by now, the Mongols had lost power in China, and with the help of powerful Muslim generals and bureaucrats in the country, a new Chinese empire had risen. With no chance to challenge the Majapahit Empire and their Mongol allies long gone, the king of Singapura, Parameswara, and his followers were forced to leave, resettling in modern-day Malacca. Soon, they began building a new kingdom along the western coast of the Malay Peninsula, and that's when the sultans of Perak and Samudera Pasai reached out to them. Seeing the Majapahit Empire as a mutual enemy and wanting to make an alliance with the new Malaccan kingdom, the sultan of Samudera Pasai offered his daughter's hand in marriage to Parameswara in the same way that the sultan of Perak had done nearly 150 years earlier. Parameswara accepted the proposal, converting to Islam in 1414 and changed his name to Megat Iskandar Shah and founded the Sultanate of Malacca. Around the same time, Zheng He, a Muslim naval commander and undisputedly the greatest Chinese sailor to have ever lived, had begun a series of voyages under the authority of the new Chinese Empire. One of his first stops was in Malacca, where the Chinese declared their support to Iskandar Shah and the Malacca Sultanate. Over the next few decades, Zheng He's Chinese fleet arrived in Java, creating alliances with local rulers and intervening in the politics of the Majapahit Empire. Zheng He also began his own project, spreading Islam in the region. He brought Islamic scholars from China and settled Chinese, Malay, Indian, and Arab Muslims along the northern coast of Java, creating settlements that would eventually become trading hubs with their own power and influence. Islam was now spreading within the island of Java, and there's even evidence to show that people within the Majapahit ruling class were accepting Islam too. And while this was happening in Java, the Malacca Sultanate was making its own moves as well, expanding throughout both the Malay Peninsula and also into the Majapahit territories in Sumatra. It was clear that the Majapahit Empire was losing influence and land, and that the Muslims were now gaining the upper hand. In the mid-1400s and throughout the 1500s, new Muslim sultanates began to appear. In 1457, the Sultan of Patani was formed, followed by the Sultanates of Tidore, Jailolo, and Bachan in the 1460s. In 1470, the Pahang Sultanate was founded, and in 1475, the Demak Sultanate split off from the Majapahit Empire, gaining independence. By 1486, Ternate had its first sultan, and then in 1496, the Aceh Sultanate was born. Aceh then began expanding throughout northern Sumatra in the 1520s, while at the same time, Demak crushed an attacking Majapahit army, causing the complete collapse of the empire in 1527. The Sultanate of Banjar was founded the year before, and then Kalinyamat and Banten in 1527, and then Johor in 1528, and then Chirebon in 1547, and then Pajang in 1568, and then finally the greatest Islamic kingdom in Java, the Mataram Sultanate, was created in 1586. By now, Islam had spread throughout the Malay archipelago, and all of the major islands had sultanates ruling over the land. And with the ruling classes now Muslim, most of their people began adopting Islam as their religion too. The spread of Islam in Malaysia and Indonesia was initially very slow, with it taking centuries of dawah before even the first sultanates appeared. And even then, Islam only really spread in great numbers in the 1400s during the collapse of the last great Hindu empire. Even still, till this day, there are many places in the region that have not yet accepted Islam, and it may still take them a few centuries more. But because of the efforts of the Muslims of Somalia and Oman and Yemen and Persia and India and China, and of course the Malaysian and Indonesian Muslims as well, these two countries form one of the largest regions in the Muslim world, and perhaps one of the most important regions as well. Like and subscribe for more Muslim Facts. Allah la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum.
Yeah.